Matt Waldman, it's been an eventful week since we last talked. A lot of players have changed organizations and a lot of drama and angst and fun stuff. We're here to see if we want to feel it or fuck it. I'm Bob Harris. You can find me at Football Diehard on the X Machine. He's Matt Waldman, at Matt Waldman on the X Machine. He's working diligently on the rookie scouting portfolio. We are, what, it's the 19th? How many days is it till the 1st? You probably know better than I do.
I don't know. March doesn't exist for me. All I know is I'm writing the running back chapter today.
We will rename March Blur.
Yes. The dark month. It's darkness. That's all it is.
Well, you know, let's dive right in. We'll kind of focus on free agent moves and give you a little respite from the rookie action. How about that? Because we talked last week, Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, the de facto starter. But now he has at least some possible competition in the form of Justin Fields. Fields arrives in exchange for a conditional 2025 sixth round pick. Boy, that value seems around. Field or fucking that value for Justin Fields?
I mean, I'll put it this way. He gets to go where he wants to go. And the Steelers get a player that is far better than what some of the other teams paid for, like, say, the Vikings and, you know, Sam Darnold. So, yeah, I'm totally feeling this. I'm totally feeling this all the way around for so many reasons. But the ones that make the most sense to me is that you get an actual good quarterback prospect who didn't do too horribly relative to the horror show that the Bears were in terms of trying to develop him. And you get him in a situation where he can sit or compete with a player at the end of his career who was a darn good player, who maybe was one pass away from a Hall of Fame career. May still be argued as such at some point in Russell Wilson. And say what you want to say, but I think that Russell Wilson, at least from example, will be able to provide a lot to Fields. And the Steelers just know what they're doing a lot of times when it comes to picking up players and creating a good culture in an organization. Even if they don't always choose the right players, they have a culture that is an envy of the league, if you ask me.
Right. Well, I mean, they understand that, you know, the minute by minute, year by year changes are not what lead to long-term success. But also, I mean, you could argue the NFL is not built for long-term success anymore. Maybe the Steelers are living in a past that no longer exists. You're not going to have these dynastic organizations that dominate Super Bowls for years and years. I mean, you know, teams do seem to get back there, but I don't know if it's the same kind of format, the same plan that the Steelers have relied on in the past. Like, you know, are they having the high-end success right now? I don't know. They're having success, though. If you're sitting here right now, are you feeling Russell Wilson is a capable 60 or 17-game starter, or do you think Fields will push him?
Oh, Fields will definitely push him at some point. I won't even be surprised if they decide they're going to give Fields a year off and just say, listen, we want you to sit. We want you to work on, here's the things we want you to work on, and your time will come next year. They're either going to do that or they're going to give them an equal competition. And when Fields doesn't do well in certain moments, they'll bench him. And I think they'll do an intermittent benching type of thing where it's like, they'll bench him when they need to. They'll give him the kind of perspective that he needs without like completely wrecking his confidence, and let Russ come in there and be kind of the relief pitcher if they need him to be that. I think that's how they do it. And I don't know, you know, all I know is that teams that do the thing that you talk about with what the NFL has been, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. I mean
some teams are better at it than others, though. Yeah. I mean, you know, that are better at the, you know, this navigating the free agency game and the balancing the, you know. So I get it with Fields. When I talked to Hubbard Arkish a couple weeks ago at Pro Football Weekly covering the Bears, you know, he really said really great things about Justin Fields. He said, but there's one issue. He hasn't proven himself as a passer. And I mean, if you're and so here he is heading into his fifth year option. They want to start the clock again. And I mean, we've seen teams do it either way, right? Patrick Mahomes is a very expensive quarterback who has won Super Bowls, right? And their Chiefs are building around him. We've seen other teams take the route if we want that young quarterback that we can build around on a rookie contract. And some of those teams have met success. That started with Russell Wilson, by the way.
Yeah, well, right? Yeah, but I'll say this. You know, I'll do respect to Hub Arkush, but I'll say this, is that the Bears didn't prove that they were a competent organization by supplying
100%
him,
true.
You know, an offensive coordinator worth a shit. And they certainly didn't give him an offensive line or protections that were commensurate with the poor talent that that offensive line could provide. You don't give a guy minimum protection when your offensive line is shitty. So these are the types of things that he had to deal with early on. Yeah. I mean, and I just look at it this way, is that we can say he didn't prove himself as a passer, but it's probably more incumbent to say that really he showed enough as a passer to prove that he deserves some more opportunity. And he was not a strong passer by prospect, you know, by relative to what top prospects were, but neither was really Josh Allen. Josh Allen had moments.
No, I agree.
So he needed I always said he needed a Josh Allen plan. He's going to get something along those lines here as a reset.
Right. It's possible for players to get better when they're given the right things around them to get better. Coaching, a supporting cast, all those things.
Jared Goff.
The complaint, not necessarily Hub's complaint, because I think Hub probably thinks very highly of Justin Fields, clearly, if you listen to him talk.
Sure.
Couldn't say enough good things about him. But I think the complaint, not just from Hub, but what I've heard just around, and look, a lot of people have opinions on Justin Fields, it turns out, Matt, that he holds the ball too long. But you could easily say that's a function of not having a great receiving core that's getting open down the field and presenting him with targets.
So, or not enough time in the pocket to make efficient throws, so now you got to buy time yourself.
And right, that's, so...
Yeah.
So do we feel like this has been put out there, and clearly the Bears are putting the spin out there that they were doing right by Fields. Like, how much bullshit is that?
I think
they
did
right by moving him,
they did right by him at the very end. That's the best thing that I would say, is that they did right by him but at the very end to put him in a good situation in terms of best opportunity to develop, best opportunity for long-term success. Maybe not best opportunity to get playing time immediately. Maybe not best offensive line or best, you know, coaching situation in terms of hot coordinator. But in terms of what can be done for him to have the best chance to grow and develop, I think they did.
Yeah, so... Part of the, you know, the Steelers moving on, you know, is they moved on from something. It's interesting in Pittsburgh. I just keep going back to the Mike Tomlin quote from a couple of years ago. Oh, we want volunteers, not hostages. It seems like they're releasing some of the hostages. So, you know, Kenny Pickett kind of, you know, if you believe the local reporting, and I don't, you know, they're pretty connected people, Jerry Dulac, the chief among them, they're at least being told by the team that, hey, you know, first of all, last year he didn't want to dress out when we wanted to dress out coming off ankle surgery. This year he got pissed off because we're bringing in Russell Wilson. He didn't want to be around, didn't want to compete. And, you know, this may have been based on expectations. Kenny Pickett may have had an expectation based on how things were prior to the arrival of Russell Wilson. But just, you know, they move him out to Philadelphia where he will be a locked-in number two. He enters the backup phase of his career, apparently, behind Jalen Hurts. And then Deontay Johnson also moved to Carolina. They did get something in return for him, right? They got Dante Johnson, the cornerback. They got, you know, some picks. By the way, the Justin Fields trade, what are the Jets saying? Fuck this. I mean, what are they going to get for whatever they hoped they were getting for Zach Wilson just went out the window
Probably like a limp Popeye's chicken sandwich with some stale bread.
That sounds really good, though.
Yeah,
that
I bet it does.
Sounds way better than Zach Wilson at the moment. Deontay Johnson in this offense, I mean, we've got some hopes for Bryce Young based on the fact that Dave Canales has had not just success with Baker Mayfield. He also helped, you know, Geno Smith get on track during his time. Coach Russell Wilson also in Seattle for a period of time. How do we feel about the addition of Deontay Johnson to this receiving corps?
I mean, I think it helps them from an ability standpoint. But if you believe the Steelers and look at basically just kind of the tone of how Deontay Johnson's career has been, I would say that Bryce Young needs players who are going to help him get better, who are going to be leaders in their area that bleed over to being leaders to what he does and helping him. You know, when you have great surrounding talent who understands their role as well as ways to guide a young quarterback's role, then I think you level up quickly. Brock Purdy, I think, had that. I think Jared Goff in a certain way had some of that. I don't think Deontay Johnson's that player. I think he needs a strong veteran to lead him to really be the type of player that he needs to be. Otherwise, he's going to feel like a hostage again. And so I think he and Pickett are, you know, I like to joke around about the Steelers, as you know, all the time here and troll my friends. But at the end of the day, you know, they got rid of guys who really, to me, probably could use a little bit more maturity and professionalism, and they would be better in situations where they're not the man. They're just a good addition to the team. And I think Johnson's going to have to be leaned on to be the man in a scenario where I'm not sure he's capable of doing that. He's an on and off player. He's a light switch player from what I've seen. And that those type of guys, you know, you need some strong duct tape. And I don't know if Bryce Young is the strong duct tape as of yet. He might be, but with David Tepper and that organization, David Tepper was going to keep ripping that duct tape off so that he can check and micromanage everything and see everything's there. And that duct tape's going to get worn thin. There's going to be no more glue on it.
Yeah, David Tepper, I've been paying attention to the Rooneys.
He's the anti-Rooney.
The yin and yang here, people. Yeah. So interesting. We'll see how that plays out as well. Now, Fields, as he's heading out the door, has got to be kicking somebody in the ass for bringing in pieces. They did start out early, bringing DeAndre Swift in at the running back position. All my Khalil Herbert early best ball shares that seem very reasonably priced no longer do. But then the big news, the bombshell, they land, they trade for Keenan Allen. Why weren't they doing this for the last guy? They're doing it for the next guy. So this is great news. As you watch Keenan Allen play, I have not seen signs of slowing down, Matt. In fact, I've seen signs of picking up.
Yeah.
Like last year was arguably the best season in his career. Franchise record for Los Angeles for the Chargers, 108 catches, 1,243 yards, second highest total of his career. He was, fantasy tight end or wide receiver 2 through 12, 13 games. He was playing, he seems to be at his peak right now for an aging player. Do you think he could sustain that playing with a rookie like Caleb Williams and playing opposite DJ Moore?
Yeah, I think he can, but the cliff comes fast and it comes suddenly and we don't know when it will appear. And if you're going to be an extreme pessimist can say it's going to be a new system, a new quarterback. He's going to have some unexpected things that happen that's going to cause you to have to think twice physically. And when you do that on the field, you get hurt. And Keenan Allen certainly has been hurt in his career at certain points. And so if the end's going to come, that would be a way I would foresee it. But I'm a little bit more of an optimist with Allen because I think that with him Williams, they're probably going to have a nice rapport with each other fairly quickly. I feel like that's a good take. And then, you know, you mentioned DeAndre Swift, so might as well just say, Khalil Herbert's a better running back, period. DeAndre Swift is the most hyped running back, period. And with that offensive line, it ain't gonna be the Eagles on a regular basis. At the same time, though, with Caleb Williams' ability to run a little bit, and they will probably do enough with opportunities to create, let's call it 2-on-1 or 3-on-1 opportunities where Swift has. Basically, it's 3 offensive players to 1 defensive player in the box on one side. And Swift will have some advantages that way, but he's not a full-time player. He's going to be a part-time player like he's been at every stop. And I wouldn't expect a career year. I would just expect, you know, kind of more in the range of what we've seen with him, probably mid-range of what he's been.
Yeah, I joked about this wrecking my Khalil Herbert shares. It actually bolstered my future Khalil Herbert shares. He was going as like running back, I'm going to say 37. So outside the, you know, the running back, well, outside the running back too. This is going to push him down. That'll depress the price a little more. you know what I like, Matt? I like cheap stuff. And especially cheap stuff that's been really productive when given opportunities. I think he'll continue to get opportunities. I do this a lot in best ball. I feel this every single time I do it. It feels good. And I say, fuck that other guy, because I take the cheaper piece, right? Because there is, it's March, number one. We don't know what the hell is going to happen, but we have a little something to hang our hat on with Herbert. And I think it's been pretty good. Roshan Johnson, I'm a little less dialed in on. He was the cheaper piece in this case, but only, you know, in relative terms, right? It was 37 and 41 were their running back ADPs on best ball prior to this move.
Here's another thought. I don't know the financials, so I may just, this may be unrealistic financially, but I would think that maybe Khalil Herbert would be a trade candidate during the draft if they like Roshan Johnson still.
It does seem like the money that, I mean, it's a 3-year deal for Swift in particular, $8 million a year. So, you know, they think something of him. He picked a great year to have his first fully healthy season, I would say. It was good, great timing by him.
Yeah, I mean, you're with an excellent offensive line in Philadelphia with one of the top offenses. Yeah, that's the time to take advantage. So good for him. You know, I mean, he's a worker. I would just like to see him work a little bit harder on, you know, seeing certain things to be he's a quality NFL contributor who can give you starter numbers, the illusion of starter numbers that work well in fantasy, but he's not a top quality starting running back.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well. So there are a lot of kind of with some of the recency stuff, the Chicago, Pittsburgh kind of things have been very exciting. So I wanted to dig in that first. But we kind of did bury the lead here in terms of the big free agent signing, at least money-wise. Kirk Cousins lands with Atlanta. I think that was been the expectation. I get it. He's been very good. I think he'll be very good. I would have preferred him stay to Minnesota. Maybe I'm feeling a little irritated that Justin Jefferson isn't going to have the most ideal of outcomes. And maybe that doesn't mean bad things for Justin Jefferson, because clearly he's a very good player. But what does this mean for the likes of Drake London and Kyle Pitts?
It's great. I think you need to I'm all in on both those guys. I'm all in on the running game. I think that Kirk Cousins does cure all the Falcons' ills on offense, because they had a good offensive line, had a strong ground game. They're too deep at the position in terms of guys who can give you starter level production. One of them is a future All-Pro in Bijan Robinson. And really now they have a quarterback who can read the full field on time, deliver it with good placement, and actually manipulate coverage. And then when... You know, and that's great. And so, yes, the Achilles injury, people are worried about that. People are worried about the age. Well, if you live in the land of a thousand lakes, then you're going to do that whole sour grapes bullshit that you do, because that's your emotions with it. You just lost Kirk Cousins and you got Sam Darnold. Though you're probably going to wind up with somebody who's pretty worthwhile at quarterback, as long as it ain't Drake May. But, it might be. You're probably better off with, I think you'd be better off with Michael Penix. Wait a little bit later, but we'll see. Maybe you can make something out of Drake.
What about JJ McCarthy?
He's okay. I don't think he's going to leverage Justin Jefferson as well vertically as you would like to see. So I think it would be, I think with those two receivers and the way that they can win downfield, and with your tight end TJ Hockenson, I think Michael Penix or Jaden Daniels give you the best options as vertical throwers, with Drake May being in that conversation. But what he does against pressure, he's a tough guy against pressure, but he's more like Sam Darnold in the sense of, and that might be the thing. You know, if they see Drake May as what Sam Darnold could have been, that might be the signal of what they're trying to do. But I think they're much closer to what they really are, what we've really seen from Drake, from Sam Darnold. So, you know, it's going to be fascinating.
I am interested. You know, Cousins looks very healthy. You see the workout videos they're posting on the interwebs. And, you know, again, I would call this advertising, much like we saw for someone we'll talk about here shortly. You know, their free agency's coming. You want to show your guy out there on the pickleball courts or whatever, doing his thing, throwing the ball. He looked pretty good. I'm not going to diminish that. And it does seem like recoveries from Achilles are, you know, it's like everything, the medical technology progresses, and, you know, they get better at these things over time. So somewhere out there, Patrick Jeffers had the first microfracture surgery that went horribly awry, is looking at guys today going, God.
Yeah.
So
what a great 1 year he had.
right? Yeah, up in Carolina, and then needed that. Had one of the first microfractures that surgeries that I remember. And you know, got him back on the field, but was never the same. And then had a lot of complications, issues, ended up suing the doctors. And, you know, I don't know where all that stands now, but it was a great story at the time of this technology moving forward. It looks moved well forward. So we'll see with Kirk Cousins. I wrote in this week's fantasy notebook. You can find that on Football Guys, people. It's a website, footballguys.com. You can find Wallman stuff there too, but also at Wallman.com. Rookie scouting portfolio season is there. But I wrote about, you know, what, you know, like if you're sitting there, if you're invested in Kyle Pitts, you're going, okay, this is probably the best thing that ever happened. You know, not just because like 27%+ of his targets, or Cousins' targets over his career have gone to tight ends, but he's carried some tight ends to great heights. And they've been good players. I think Kyle Pitts, probably a good player. So there is some hope here. And go check out that article. You'll find out a little more on that background. But I'm feeling this move as well. Seemed like the natural step. If he was, if Cousins wasn't going to, you know, stay in Minnesota, this seemed like the right landing spot. Similar offense to what he's run, the, you know, McVay, Shanahan conglomerate moving forward. So feeling all this as well. So Marquise Brown ends up in Kansas City. Do we feel him as being a factor for the Chiefs that he has kind of flirted with but not been in Baltimore and Arizona?
Yeah, because he actually has a quarterback who I think will end in, and a scheme. He had the quarterback in Baltimore. He had some of the scheme. He had, yeah, he had a scheme. He had a little bit more, better of a scheme maybe in Arizona, but not the quarterback. So I think now it's all coming together. Now, do I think that makes him automatic de facto, like he's a great receiver who just needed the right system? No, that's not quite what I'm saying. But he's a damn good receiver who fits that Tyreek Hill mode to an extent. He's like, let's say he's 75% to 80% Tyreek Hill, and I think we can leave it at that. He might, you know, he lacks the physicality, contact balance, but he has the speed factor, and he actually does have pretty good hands. That people are going to show you drops because people show you drops, but his hands aren't bad. They're not Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They are definitely a high upgrade from that.
Feel this is a plus for all involved except the Cardinals, who have plans of their own. I'm quite sure with that fourth pick overall, whether they trade it or keep it and draft Marvin Harrison Jr., we will know soon enough. So let's move on here. So Sam Howell goes to the Seattle Seahawks. I find this interesting only in the language that we've heard about Geno Smith, which has not been like, yes, Geno. It's been like, well, we'll see, right? Mike McDonald, the new head coach, comes in. And, you know, like, I get it why these guys don't want to put themselves, you know, pin themselves to a position. They want to, you know, slow play it. But do we feel Sam Howell is being capable of pushing Geno Smith this year for the starting role if the competition exists?
Yes, I think it's possible because from an ability standpoint, I would say Geno has more upside than Sam Howell does in terms of what we've seen. But Howell also gives you the mystery of what could be, in terms of, you know, we haven't seen full Sam Howell just yet, but
we've seen flashes of it.
Yeah, we've seen flashes of it. I mean, I think he's on the level of, say, Drew Locke in terms of like type of player that maybe could rehab his career a little bit and maybe have a better fit. But I would probably say if no politics were involved, Geno Smith is probably the guy. But because you added someone else and it's the coach's input with it, bet on Sam Howell having a say at some point by midseason.
Right. Restructured Geno's contract to make it a little more favorable. You know, if there were some moving on to happen, it wouldn't be as severe cap hits going forward. So not that they're going to move on from him this year. That's not but yeah, I just think Howell being there and the language that we've heard going all the way back to, you know, since Pete Carroll left has been pretty telling. Yeah. Darnold, you mentioned in Minnesota. You feeling him as this year's Baker Mayfield-esque redemption story?
No, not remotely. He is
fucking that butt.
He's the he's bringing the ghosts with him to Minnesota. That's all he'll would say.
He'll never let go. That will never
and it's
never
not
take that, right?
I hate it for him that that's the case. And really, the guy who deserves that is the coach that he was telling he was seeing ghosts with, and the coach and the coach decided to keep locking him in that crowded closet with whatever was in there in the dark of the pocket, you know, and just say, just get back in there, you know, like basically his coach was Mommy Dearest. I don't remember his name, but I remember at one time he was Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator, which basically was he probably procured Peyton Manning lots of things that Peyton Manning probably doesn't want to talk about. But we'll just put it this way. You know, Darnold will be a placeholder for somebody else at best. That's all he is.
That's fine. I mean, yeah. I was trying to look up I'm trying to remember who the coordinator was. Why didn't I remember that?
He was the one with the kooky faces who was the head coach.
Yeah. Adam Gase.
Yep. There you go.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. All right. So let's move on to happier stories.
Yes.
I think that
two for two, baby.
Happiest story for me in free agency, and I'm feeling it like I was feeling it before it happened. Derrick Henry in Baltimore, upgraded offensive line, playing alongside Lamar Jackson. I also have some stuff in this week's notebook about his speed, and I think that's what's interesting to me is people, you know, he's 30 years old, maybe he's losing a step, maybe not. Like, had the 7th fastest time in the NFL last season, but also, you know, was right up there, had one of his best years in terms of breakaway run rate. Let me ask it this way. Could you feel any better about a move than this one?
No, not at all. It's a fantastic move, and I'm glad you highlighted the speed. I mean, mid-season, I was watching Derrick Henry and putting videos up on the X machine or the X app, and you can go to, you know, at Matt Waldman space, type in Derrick Henry, and you'll see videos that show you clearly that this guy hasn't lost anything, other than maybe a top-notch offensive line. Now he's getting a good offensive line with a quarterback who's going to give him an extra free man in the box. You probably are not going to, as my friend of the show, Chad Ryder of NFL.com, and I were talking about yesterday afternoon, you know, you're probably not going to see as much of an RPO game with Derrick Henry. And I know people are all up talking about Keaton Mitchell, and we'll see about Keaton Mitchell and that injury. But Henry's a great screen game player. He's a good swing pass player. They'll be able to do some really nice play action, naked boots with Lamar Jackson, with teams really playing heavy on Henry in the box. It's a great pairing. You get a feature back, and he gives you at least one more strong year.
Feeling it. And he's still residing outside the running back one range. If you're feeling good about it, don't be shy. I think he's right up there with the other players being drafted ahead of him. Surely one of those players.
The king has not been deposed.
The king has not been deposed for me. I'm going to have a lot of shares of Derrick Henry on my best ball teams this year. One player who is going ahead of him and has been, but now has a new home. Saquon Barkley goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, Matt. I think the concern is the Eagles have not necessarily, you know, given a lot of targets to the running backs with Jalen Hurts, but I mean, there was what, like 90 of them last year. I feel like it's safe to expect Saquon Barkley to get the vast majority. I don't think it'll be as much of a split there based on the money they gave him. Feeling Saquon Barkley is a Philadelphia Eagle.
If there is a time to buy into a running back and say that motherfucker is going to run roughshod through the league, and he is going to have a vengeance tour on a team in his own division, it will be Saquon Barkley. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if you're going to invest in that kind of like narrative kind of motivation, Saquon Barkley is a great talent. He has always been a great talent. He hasn't always been the most mature talent on the field in terms of decisions to make. He's a mature human being. He's just not always been a mature decision maker. He leans a lot on his talent. Well, when you have an offensive line the caliber of the Eagles, and you have with what the Eagles did with DeAndre Swift,
right?
I mean, DeAndre Swift is a good three tiers below Saquon Barkley in ability. So go ahead, if you like Saquon Barkley before, go ahead and love on him and count on him. If you're disappointed, whatever, if it doesn't work out, I will be making a point to get Saquon Barkley for the first time ever.
And we talk about the money situation, running backs not getting paid, being devalued, not so much this year. Barkley gets 37, up to $46 million, but $37 million, three-year deal. That's decent money. And gives him a little bit of the security he was looking for. I think it's probably more of a two-year deal, but whatever the case, the math works out for him, works out for the Eagles, and I agree with everything you said. Feeling me some Saquon Barkley. Are we feeling the same about Josh Jacobs going to Green Bay?
Fuck yeah. This is great. I mean, these could not have been better situations, to be honest. I mean, with almost every back we're going to talk about.
It gets better because they did release Aaron Jones, who probably would have been a limiting factor. They bring back A.J. Dillon, probably not a limiting factor. So I'm with you on this one. Some changes on the offensive line, but I love this offense, and I love this move for this offense.
Exactly. I mean, you get balance. Josh Jacobs is a pro's pro. He is someone that can run gap. He can run zone. He's a much better pass receiver than people who never watched Alabama tape may characterize. And he could be used in a bigger capacity that way. He's a do-it-all back. When I think of like a back that pro running backs would probably talk about and say, oh yeah, respect to that dude, that guy can do it all, Josh Jacobs would be one of those guys.
Yeah, I think if you're worried about the receiving numbers, the receiving totals haven't been high, but he's a very effective receiver, right? He's good at it when given the opportunity. He has been good at it. So hopefully he gets more of those opportunities now without Aaron Jones. So, and let's say Aaron Jones, and by the way, Zamir White, a lot of people very excited. I mean, I think this is the ideal move for two players. One being Josh Jacobs, the other being Zamir White, who now has, they signed Alexander Mattison yesterday. Don't think he's there to cut into the workload. One Zamir White, and we saw Zamir White fare really well with a heavy workload last year. And if you've been watching the interwebs this week, he's kind of buff.
Zeus has always been Zeus, you know? So we're gonna see a buff dude who can run hard, who is a good straight line runner with a little bit of wiggle, who is a promising pass protector, who's not a great receiver, probably not wanting him as much of an outside runner, but he can get the job done. Alexander Mattison gives them a good number two who can give them quality work, no matter what your favorite fantasy analysts outside of us will say. They will probably, I hate him because
it wasn't a great year for him last year.
No, it wasn't. But you know what?
Fell short of expectations. You do that to the fantasy community, you will be.
They didn't like him in the first place because he didn't run a high 40. So, but.
Well, that's the draft community. The fantasy community doesn't care about his 40 time. They care about his touchdowns, yards per point. There's a number associated with him. I think he had the most. There are only two players have had 180 plus carries and zero rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, well,
in recent history, him and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, when you don't have a quarterback for part of the season, your red zone production goes to shit. That's generally what happens because the red zone.
Quit making excuses for Alexander Mattison.
No, I'm a Stan. I'm going to be okay with it. He's a solid running back who can catch the ball. They give them something, but don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if the Raiders also draft somebody in the fifth or sixth round. Who has the capability about playing both of these guys?
They're going to be a run-heavy team based on everything we've seen last year from what Antonio Pierce wants. The addition of Luke Getsy coming over from Chicago tells you the same. Don't listen to Getsy telling you, I'm not necessarily going to be run-heavy. They hire Gardner Minshew to be their quarterback. They're going to be run-heavy.
If Dylan Johnson of Washington winds up as a Las Vegas Raider, we might feel like the Oakland Raiders again, which I say is a good thing. But, okay.
Phelan Jones in Minnesota. Aaron Jones moves on to a lot of divisional rival.
The Packers might get a taste of their own medicine watching Aaron Jones run roughshod through them, because Aaron Jones is still a legit awesome running back. And, I mean, he's another one who can do it all. And those with Ty Chandler shares, I mean, they'll like him as a compliment, but they're going to be a little disappointed other than as a potential injury substitute.
Ask the postseason Dallas Cowboys and San Francisco 49ers what they think of Arizona, they're feeling, or of Aaron Jones, they're feeling this. Joe Mixon traded to Houston. Zach Moss signed in Indy. So the talk in Cincinnati is they were unhappy with Joe Mixon's breakaway rate, which has not been good. hasn't been the explosive runner they wanted. So they bring in Zach Moss, thinks he gives them a little more of that. They also have Chase Brown, who gives them a little bit of that as well. But Mixon in Houston seems like a good landing spot for him. Are you feeling it?
I am, though I just want to make sure, isn't Zach Moss a Bengal? I'm pretty sure he's a Bengal.
Did I say that right?
I think you said Indy.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. But Mixon out to Cincy, Zach Moss in Cincy.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, Mixon is... I love Mixon there. I think that, you know, he's still a quality running back. I think that people conflate how they feel about him off the field with what he is on the field. And the breakaway rate, I don't really worry. I don't really care about that. What I really care about is, can you get efficient yardage? And I think that on film, he shows that. He still has the burst. He still has the ability to... He's a terrific pass receiver. He gives them an all-around running back.
Yeah, I feel like there's something to be said for playing alongside a solid passing attack. Just along those lines, there's been some talk, you know, maybe the Houston Texans interested in a super high-end receiver. Maybe they were looking for a Keenan Allen. I've seen people suggest that they feel like that leads them to believe they aren't as high on Nico Collins and Tank Dell. What would you tell those people?
I would say they're probably right in the terms that they don't see either one of them as the elite primary option. I think Nico Collins had a fantastic season, but I really looked at him as a player who's going to get you somewhere between 60, 80 targets to about 1,100 yards. He had a couple hundred yards more than that in a good situation this year. But I don't think they see... I think he's a big possession plus receiver with enough speed to get downhill, kind of like a Mike Williams, T. Higgins type, okay? Which is really good and can give you that, but he and Tank Dell, I think they want a guy who can do what both of those guys can give you to some extent and more, and play all over the field, and that way they have three great options. And so that's kind of where I think that is. They're both quality options, and I think that you could wind up with three receivers in that offense who are going to be startable. Somebody may just be, you may just be overpaying for slightly, maybe overpaying for two of them. So we'll see how it goes with that. And in terms of Zach Moss, you know, in terms of Zach Moss in with the Bengals, you know, people are going to talk about Chase Brown. Brown certainly brings the speed element. Moss brings the hard-earned, developed decision making that he didn't have when he first began his career with the Bengals. So I think they're going to be a solid 1-2 punch. And it really doesn't matter what they're going to be as long as Joe Burrow is still upright and ready to throw.
That's it. A lot of about all of that in this week's notebook as well. Looking to the coordinator situation, Joe Burrow situation, T. Higgins situation, Chase Brown situation, Zach Moss situation.
There's you got it covered, Bob.
Not
you
the least of which.
Not surprising.
I left out Mike Gesicki signing, though, which I think is due to the fact that
the volleyball player?
Yeah, the volleyball player.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, I love you, Mike Gesicki, but fuck. Austin Eckler joins the Washington Commanders. It will be working in the Cliff Kingsbury offense alongside Brian Robinson Jr. Or is it like alongside? Am I using the right word? How are we feeling about this move?
I hate it from a fantasy standpoint because Brian Robinson looked so good last year. And I know that it's a cheap contract probably for Eckler. And as a result of that, people are thinking, well, he's maybe on his way out. They're going to see what he's got available. Is he a McKissick? Is he like kind of a McKissick type that they want to use in that role? Is that what they're envisioning, or are they envisioning more of the lead back and a 1-2 punch? And I think they're gonna probably it's gonna be disappointing for both players unless one gets hurt. That's the way I'll put it.
I said that running backs, the devaluation had stopped. Running backs not named Austin Eckler. I should have rephrased that. $11 million over 2 years can make up to $5 million the first year with $1.5 million in incentives. He'll be hard-pressed to hit those, I think. Great guy, great dude, loves the fantasy, understands all.
Terrific running back for his career, you know, for sure.
Tony Pollard goes to Tennessee. Feel it or fuck it for both Pollard and Tyjae Spears.
Short-term, fuck it, because it sucks for Tyjae. I was hoping that he would get... But here's the thing that I look at it as this. Based on the contract numbers and likelihood of maybe an out in year two or year three, It's most likely that they looked at Tajay Spears and said, look, we know the injury history. We know the size. We saw the film. The film looked great. But we're not going to lean on you as our starter without having someone damn good in case you can't handle the load. We don't know yet. We had Derrick Henry. We don't know yet. Tony Pollard's the type of guy we can go, he's cheap enough that we can look at this scenario and say, if it works, we've got a top guy and we can keep Tajay in the role he was in. And if it doesn't and Tajay outplays him, well, then we can have a good balance of two players here. And I think that's how that's looking. So for fantasy right now, Tajay's value is going to keep dropping. You can get him, and I would say he's going to be a Bob Harris value special later on.
Yep.
Where Pollard's going to be a guy that might be a little bit too costly.
Be the shiny object. I'll say the player, the person to watch here in Tennessee is not Brian Callahan. It's his dad, Bill, who has a lot of work to do with an offensive line that was
he'll do it.
League's worst. And he is one of the best, if not the best, at his specialty in the NFL. So
he did some plastic surgery on Cleveland's ailing offensive line last year.
And many of you might remember him as a head coach of the Raiders for a period and longtime assistant, really highly regarded. Yeah. And it was pretty cool, the Browns, by the way, to let him move on and work with his son. They didn't have to do that. And Mike come back and bite them in the ass as well. Couple of wide receiver moves, you know, like most of the ones we had already talked about, the high end basically staying in place unless T. Higgins gets traded. But Calvin Ridley lands in Tennessee for a shit ton of money. And I think the argument is you had A.J. Brown when he was a very young man wanting about the same money you just paid Calvin Ridley as a much older player approaching his 30th year. How do you feel about this, Matt?
I think it's a joke. I mean, Calvin Ridley is a quality NFL receiver. He is a good starter. I don't think he's a number one. I think that he's kind of a high-end Deontay Johnson in terms of, like, not the guy you want leading your receiving core. You want him to be couched among guys who actually are leaders of a receiving core. And I think that with
so you're saying Treylon Burks is not a leader of a receiving corps?
Not yet, no.
Okay, DeAndre Hopkins
is for sure, but you know, so Ridley though, if Ridley's that high priced, and you know, you're counting on him somehow, and also he's at the tail end of his career. I mean, if you really look at it, I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that plays into his mid 30s and plays at a high level. I think, you know, he's got a year or two left. He's going to have a higher more money than he's... I think this whole deal was absurd to you know, for a guy who drops passes, who doesn't always run great routes, compared to what his billing was. And so you've got a shiny object in Tennessee. And
let me float a theory out here.
Okay.
The decision to move on from A.J. Brown by John Robinson, previous coordinator, probably was the beginning of his end there.
Yeah.
Right. And the friction that caused, I think it did with Mike Vrabel, maybe has left him contentious and ended up leading to his downfall.
Yeah.
Now you have Rand Carthen coming in. They've got a new coach in Brian Callahan that Carthen wants, but Carthen also trying to please an owner who maybe saw and maybe didn't agree with the idea that maybe we should pay AJ Brown, or maybe she was behind it, but does this seem like kind of an attempt to make up for that decision or reverse directions to some degree?
Yeah, I see a lot of people pleasing in this. This is a lot.
Right.
This is a lot of people pleasing, and it's just a total Tennessee Titans move right here, where you take one step forward, two steps back, and I think this is the two steps back. I mean,
but you're feeling Will Levis.
I thought he was the two steps back from the step forward to they took Tajay Spears and then took two steps back with Will Levis. Though I'm sure it was in a different order, but it doesn't really matter. You're still in the same direction.
So far I'm 0-for-1 on redemption story attempts. Let's try another one. Jerry Jeudy, redemption coming in Cleveland. Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, there's a reason why Denver's been wanting to get rid of him since last year.
Reason I don't want to draft him.
Yeah, I mean, he's an aspiring Reggie Wayne who, you know, whose route running isn't as good as purported, whose explosion isn't good as purported. He's still probably at best the third option in this passing game, depending on whether Eli Moore or Cedric Tillman comes on. It might be an indictment on those two picks, but Cleveland's being Cleveland too. Unfortunately, they seem to step sideways when they should be stepping forward. And then maybe they don't take two steps back, but they seem to take, they seem to have this really good team, and then they keep stepping sideways towards some sort of like manhole cover that's opened.
That's not good. So Jacksonville needed a replacement for one Calvin Ridley. I don't think the idea was for Gabe Davis to be that. They landed Gabe Davis from Buffalo. They hoped to keep Ridley at the time they landed Gabe Davis. What is Gabe Davis now, given the circumstances in Jacksonville? Is he Zay Jones they hope can stay healthy, and they're still looking for their wide receiver one?
I think he's what Ridley was at his absolute worst, which was, but just taller and stronger.
And a better blocker.
So you get that. But he's a third option who can get downfield when your quarterback scrambles, and if he's wide open, he may catch the ball one out of every three times, you know, or
3 year, $39 million. You got Saquon Barkley money, Matt Wallman.
Yeah,
Saquon Barkley money.
That just tells you that you've got a lot of drunk fantasy owners, posing as NFL people, because it's, you know, Gabe Davis, again, quality receiver by the standard of can he contribute in the NFL. Like Jerry Jeudy, he can contribute in the NFL. Are they worth the money that they're getting relative to other players? You got to be fucking kidding me that you're going to give Gabe Davis more money than Saquon Barkley. You know, that just tells you how institutionally stupid things have gotten because of maybe certain types of thinking gone awry. You know, in terms of, well, we pay this for this because, you know, it makes no sense.
Well, we'll see what happens. I think the Jaguars would like to not be done at wide receiver. We'll see if they can pull out their.
They're done. They are done in the AFC South. I mean, they're done. They have fucked themselves. I'm sorry. The two teams that are going to be worth a fuck in this division are going to be the Texans and the Colts. It's going to be Stroud and Richardson if they both stay healthy, and the two teams that are going to be playing in their toilet bowl in the division are going to be the team that Mike Vrabel left or was booted out of, which was just complete just idiocy, and the Shad Khan show.
That's sad. Mike Williams is now the top name atop the wide receiving board. Corey Davis has entered the ranks, by the way, has announced his unretirement and immediately moves pretty high up given the rest of this class. I'm guessing like people are going to be interested because the rest of the free agent grouping is not fantastic, man. What do we got? Michael Thomas, Tyler Boyd, Odell Beckham.
Michael Thomas may wind up being a Dolphin, and that could be a great fit if he can stay healthy. Fantasy GMs are just going to be like, I'm totally off him now because of all that's happened. And I would just say, as cheap as he's going to be couched in between those players, I would still take a chance on him because when he's healthy, he produces.
All right, let's close out on this. We've talked about all the major moves. There are other moves. You can go to footballguys.com and check them all out. Got a player movement splash page. Some instant reactions, tons of them on all these players. So check all that out. I want to ask you one last thought on a player who has announced his retirement. Not a guy a lot of us have drafted in regular leagues, but IDP players know him. Aaron Donald has announced his retirement. Just give us a little perspective on on him as a player.
When I was writing at Football Outsiders and actually covering all sorts of players for the draft, he was one in his class. He was one of two players that I thought was like the safest pick. The other one, just to give you a laugh, was Sammy Watkins, to give you some perspective. But I would say one out of two wasn't bad considering the one that worked out very well. Unbelievably quick twitch, great use of his hands, explosive power for his size. Maybe he wasn't like the greatest run defender either ever, but he wasn't as bad as some people tried to make him out to be. He was a fantastic disruptive presence for a team, yeah. And I'm glad that they won a Super Bowl with him. He was a big reason that they could. And you know, I'm glad that he decided to retire. I hope he's retiring on top in terms of that he's still feeling good physically. He has nothing to prove about his career. And very few players probably can say it on the level that he can.
Always been a fan of like these like dominant defensive tackles. I mean, I, you know, just over the years, Randy White was one of my favorite players, you know, as a youngster. John Randall kind of fit that. There's been a handful of them, but these kind of like not huge guys, right?
Sapp,
Steve McMichael. I mean, guys that were sub 300 pounders playing inside who just went on their high motors and loved watching Aaron Donald play. So sad to see him move on, but happy for him. Happy for us. We've been through another Feel It or Fuck It. Happy for you for listening to it. Hope you felt it and not saying fuck it. Either way, we'll be back next week. Matt, tell them what you'll be doing until we come back.
I'll be finished up the running back chapter. I've already put out two solo pods on quarterback class, the wide receiver class. I'll probably be doing the running back class sometime either Friday or Saturday. If all things go well, and then one class left to do, and the RSP will be available April 1st. You can get it at mattwaldman.com for $21.95. You get a pre-draft publication, a post-draft publication. They're in PDF format with bookmarks that are easily navigatable. So when you look at the information and go, holy fuck, this is a shit ton of information.
It is.
I just paid this little for that much. And yeah, I'm selling it, but as I tell people, it's a no frills publication. It's all substance, pretty
it's
much.
It's all meat, no tapes.
It's all meat, baby.
100%,
yes,
man.
Absolutely. And it's quality meat, I'm telling
yeah.
you. So, and so you'll
like,
be shocked.
If you haven't seen it out there, Matt shows all his work. There are rankings, there are the things you want to see, the comparisons, the metrics, all those kind of things, but also goes in depth and you can dig as deep as you want. The way it's designed is the way I love to see things designed, where whatever level of reader or your level of interest is, there's a level there yeah. for you.
Choose
you
your own adventure. Yes.
Right. Exactly. 100%. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, for me, it's an invaluable research tool. I look back on them and I look at how a player is doing 5 years into his career, and I'll sometimes want to go back and see, what did Matt think of him back then? And look at some of the traits and characteristics that you outlined at the time and see how they come into play now. And as a general rule of thumb, they are pretty much spot on. But you can decide that for yourself, people. I'm not here to shill. I'm just here to tell you it's great. I love it. I'm Bob Harris. He's Matt Waldman. We'll see you next week at this very same day. Wow, it'll be Monday next week. We're a day off. I took some time off. What the hell am I talking about? Fuck me.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.